think most people are aware that the state pays a premium, if you will, on their debt in the form of higher interest costs because of the structural fiscal challenges that it faces. What we tried to evaluate was whether that amount of interest cost is really really reflected the true, what we call in finance, the default risk premium on the state's bonds, which is reflected in the credit rating, or if there's something else happening there. And what we found is that the interest cost that the state has been paying on its bonds between 2005 and 2010 is much higher, actually, than what would be what one would expect based on its default risk premium.
If you could just explain what default risk premium is.
Yeah, it's the risk. The default risk premium is the basically the premium that bond investors demand on an issuer's securities to reflect that they may not be paid in the future in a timely basis. They may not be paid back for their investment in a timely manner. So the lower the credit rating, the higher the default risk premium, because the credit rating reflects the level of risk in repayment to the investor. So the state of Illinois has a pretty high default risk premium because it's rated pretty low vis-a-vis other states. But what they're paying in interest rates, what we found, is much higher than necessarily what the default risk premium would indicate.
As you point out in your research, California is an example of a state that also has a pretty poor credit rating but pays a lot less than Illinois. And is there any indication of why that is? I mean, is Illinois just looked at that much more poorly than let's say, the state like California?
The first thing is California is rated slightly higher than the state of Illinois. So you would expect that California would pay lower interest rates than Illinois. But that's really what we found in the research is that the difference between California and Illinois is not that great that we would see such a difference in interest cost that we do in the markets. What we're concluding, or what we think the research suggests, is that there's a real high reputation risk premium that the state of Illinois faces. Their credit has deteriorated so much that, you know, many investors just won't buy Illinois debt at any cost. And the ones that do buy Illinois debt are demanding really high risk premiums, probably higher than really what the true risk of the security is. So in our research, we found that between 2005 and 2010, that the dollar cost of this reputation risk premium, we calculated as at least $80 million to the state of Illinois. So that's $80 million in basically additional interest costs that's going to have to pay just associated with the reputation risk premium that we estimated in our analysis.
And yet the state's bonds, Illinois' bonds, are fully backed by the state. Risk of default is really next to nothing. Why should Illinois taxpayers have to pay higher for basically this bad reputation?
Well, remember, there is a default risk premium, but there's also a risk that the value of the bonds are going to go down in the future because the fiscal challenges are only going to accelerate. And if investors hold on to the bonds and the value goes down, they're going to lose out on the value on the resale price of the bond. So there's a real concern from investors if they have to get rid of those bonds in the future that they're going to be worth less in the future.
We're talking with DePaul Professor Martin Luby. He's also a visiting senior fellow at the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs. You have pointed out, though, that Illinois has taken some steps to try to improve things, and you've actually seen some evidence that that is paying off in the bond market?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the state to date has sold a couple issues since the pension reform legislation was signed into law in December, and the December issue, the December bond issue that the state of Illinois sold, produced savings anywhere between $20 and $25 million in interest costs versus what they were paying prior to the pension reform legislation being passed. There was another issue, I think, in January or February that was larger in size, and the state witnessed even greater benefits. So clearly, as the state makes progress, and if it continues to make progress, we would expect that the default risk premium and this reputation risk premium that we tried to measure in this report would decrease, and the benefits would inure to the taxpayers of the state of Illinois.
And let me take just a step back here, because there are certainly people out there who might say, well, Illinois has enough problems. They have a lot of overdue bills. Why are they borrowing more money anyway? But this is what governments, they do this. They can't get away from having to borrow money, at least on a semi-regular basis. So Illinois really is going to have to pay this amount because that's just the cost of doing business?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that, well, the primary reason that state and local governments borrow money is to fund their capital activities. Some state and local governments, including Illinois, has borrowed to fund the operation side, but that's generally not viewed as a prudent way of borrowing or a prudent purpose in borrowing. So as long as the state of Illinois has to continue to make capital improvements in transportation, roads, bridges, buildings, et cetera, they're going to have to access the capital markets. And as long as their fiscal situation stays the same or deteriorates, they're going to probably be paying a premium as it relates to its default risk and its reputation.
I also thought it was interesting your research found that it's not simply when the state goes to borrow money that this sort of built-in cost is coming back to hit taxpayers. It's in other areas as well. Could you explain that?
Sure. So this reputation risk premium that we found in the bond markets, what we think this suggests is that there's a reputation risk premium that probably state workers and vendors to the state also demand of the state in the form of, in the case of workers, we would expect that there's probably a smaller pool of workers because of the reputation that they're not going to be paid or they'll be furloughed or their annual increases in salary will be less than expected. And suppliers, clearly there's a concern that they're not going to be paid and they're going to demand a higher payment for their services and goods. And that just naturally kind of flows from finding this risk premium in the bond markets. We would expect that it would be probably in other markets as well that the state operates in, although, again, this report doesn't quantify that.